But I want to tell you, God makes a way. And when he tells you something, sometimes it's a step of faith. Sometimes you don't know how he's going to work it out. Sometimes it's just, you know, he has you walking in the fog. But when God tells you to do it, he's going to make a way.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote, "Because a sentence against an evil deed is not executed speedily, the heart of children of man is fully set to do evil. When one is not held accountable for sin and acts of disobedience, you can bet there will be more to come." Today's message is clear. Disobedience has consequences.
1 Samuel 15, starting at verse 1, and we'll get through the poetry there at the end, verses 22 and 23. And what I want you to understand out of this text, I like to tell you what I want you to learn so that as we go through, you can have it reinforced in your mind. And that is that disobedience has consequences. How many of you believe that disobedience has consequences? And some of them you just can't get around. And this example of this instance in the life of King Saul just underscores and reinforces for us the fact that disobedience has consequences. So let's pray and ask for God's help as we look at the text. Heavenly Father, again, we bow before you and we thank you that you've given us this written word, and we pray that you would cause it to come alive in our hearts. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a young teen who was constantly getting into trouble with his parents. And he knew that they would forgive him. And so time after time after time, he would do something wrong. And then he would apologize and say, "I'm sorry." And his parents would forgive him. And then he would go and do something else wrong. And his parents would forgive him. And it was like a cycle. So his dad decided that he needed to take this young man into the garage and have a little conversation. So he took him into the garage and he told him, he said, "Get a nail and a hammer and hammer that nail into the wall." And so the boy took the nail and the hammer and he hammered the nail into the wall. And then he said, "Now pull the nail out of the wall." So he took the hammer and he easily pulled the nail out of the wall. And the father explained, that's what forgiveness is like. Forgiveness is like taking a nail out of the wall. But then he told him, he said, "Now pull the hole out of the wall." And the boy said, "But you can't do that." And he said, "Yeah, that's the lesson I want you to see. You can get forgiveness, but our disobedience, especially our disobedience to God, has consequences that you just can't pull out of the wall, that can't be changed." And that's certainly what happened here in the life of King Saul. His disobedience had consequences. The first thing I want you to notice is that God spoke very clearly to Saul. God spoke clearly in the first three verses. We see that very distinctly. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he had done to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." It couldn't be any more clear. God says, go to Amalek, destroy them, and kill everything. Now, in the last chapter, Saul's command seemed a little extreme. Remember, we talked about that when Saul gave out this edict that whoever ate was going to die. And it seemed a little extreme to the people. And now here in this chapter, God's direct command seems a little extreme. God is saying, go in and wipe everybody out. What kind of God would have King Saul kill all the women and children? What kind of God would have him kill all the animals for food, the beasts of burden that could help them on the farm? What kind of wacko God is this that we serve that would have give out that kind of an edict? And you know what? There are a lot of people who pick up their Bibles today and they read chapters like that, and it's like a stumbling block. And they can't figure out, well, what kind of God are you describing here in the Old Testament that would go tell King Saul to wipe out a whole nation? And so it seemed a little bit of extreme to King Saul. I'm sure that he probably figured, well, you know, maybe we don't have to take this literally. Maybe we don't have to, you know, obey all of what God is saying. Maybe God probably just didn't think the whole thing through. But you know what? With hindsight, as we look at the whole scope of the history of Israel, and I want you to see this, as you look at the nation of Israel, we begin to see the wisdom of God in some of these instructions. So, for example, when Joshua went into the land, he was told to, during the conquest, after they left Egypt, he crossed over, he went into the land, and God instructed Joshua then to wipe out everybody that was there in that country, to wipe out all the Canaanites. But Joshua didn't obey either. And because Joshua didn't obey, the pagan worship, the idolatry, the spiritual decay from the land began to destroy even the people of Israel and God's people. And as a result of that, there were hundreds of years of wars that killed many, many more people than would have been killed if Joshua just had obeyed what God had said. And so and it was actually an act of mercy and saving life by telling Joshua to go and wipe out this nation as cruel and as hard as it seemed. Right now, the United States is involved in this, you know, campaign against Libya. We've been involved for some time in a campaign against the Al-Qaeda in Pakistan. And one of the things that they've used in Pakistan is that they send these drone planes, you heard about them, that go over and bomb. And the military understands that that's not a perfect, you know, every time those drones go in, there's what they call collateral damage. And it's accepted that there's going to be collateral damage, that yes, even women and children and innocent people are going to be killed. But the reason that it's acceptable is because the prayer is that many more lives will be saved if we can put down these people who are out to kill innocent life. Are you with me? Now, you know, we can rationalize that in our minds and we can sort of understand that. But what I want to suggest to you is that whether or not you agree with or understands God's reasoning, the issue is that we've got to come to grips with, we have to obey God whether we understand him or not. We have to obey God whether we agree with him or not. We have to come to the place where we accept what he tells us to do, whether or not it makes sense to us. I mean, how arrogant are we that we would look up to the heavens and question the wisdom of Almighty God? I want to suggest to you that that's the place where Saul found himself, in a place of questioning God and not accepting God's whole command. And so we have to come to grips with the fact that God is wiser than us. He knows more than us. And even when we think it's cruel, even when we think it's crazy, I don't know why he allows some of the things that he allows to go on in the world, but God is sovereign and he's in charge and he knows what's best. Can I get an amen in the house? Amen. And so that's the first challenge then that we need, is that when God speaks clearly, it's not up to us to evaluate God's command. It's not up to us to give an appraisal of God's command. It's up to us simply to obey what God tells us to do. The second thing that I want you to see is not only that God spoke clearly, but that God blessed King Saul even in the middle of his disobedience. Can you believe that? Saul had come a long way since the 600 men around the pomegranate tree in chapter 14. Remember when he was there and he was starting to feel a little big because he had some soldiers around him? Well, he had come a long way since then. Now there were thousands of men around him. Now he had built up this great army and he was beginning to feel good about himself. Saul wasn't perfect. He had his issues. But even in the middle of those issues, even while he had been disobedient, even while he didn't perform the sacrifices the way he should, even while he didn't always obey God, God still blessed him. God had been merciful and blessed the nation. And here's what I want to say. Aren't you glad that we serve a merciful God? Because I want to tell you, there are some holes in my wall. There's some holes in your wall, and it's a wonderful thing to know that God blesses us in spite of ourselves, that God can use us even with our messed up walls that need a lot of spackle. And so there's this idea here that God blessed King Saul in spite of himself. Where would we be today if God dealt with us according to what we deserve? You know where we would be. Well, I'm not going there. We're not to take advantage of that grace, however. We're not to be like that boy you needed a talking to in the garage. We're not to take advantage of God's grace. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that we're not to use the liberty that we have in Christ and just use it for our own satisfaction. But what we need to do is we need to obey him and trust him and please him. Use that grace of God to motivate us to want to obey God in every area. The Lord pulled nails out of the wall for Saul. And right here in this text, Saul experiences a huge victory over the Amalekites. And when you read the text, you see that God wiped out the Amalekites. He sent the Kenites, who were their allies, he chased them away, and Saul was able to clear out the people all the way down near Egypt. And so we find this great victory that God gave to King Saul. And so in the last chapter, we saw the victory over the Philistines through Jonathan. And now here we find this victory that God had given Saul. And I want to suggest to you that you and I, we don't have to look very far to find that God has blessed us in spite of our sin. And all you have to do is, on the one hand, understand and appreciate your sin. And on the other hand, understand and appreciate how God has blessed you. Now, that shouldn't be too hard to do. The sin piece, just look in the mirror. And the blessings, just look around you. He woke us up this morning. You're in your right mind, is what the old preacher said. The blood running warm in your veins. And so you don't have to look very far to understand that God has blessed us in spite of ourselves. What a wonderful, merciful God we serve. I don't know about you, but when I look at the shortfalls in my life, when I look at the issues that are in my life, it just amazes me sometimes that God would use me anyhow. And all of us need to have that same appreciation for how God can use us. And so he blessed King Saul. And in verse 4, he makes that clear. But don't become deluded. There are still consequences to sin. And there's some consequences that can't be changed. And so we need to be careful. Saul's disobedience resulted, as you will see at the end of the chapter, at the end of this section there, in that poetry in verses 22 and 23, it resulted in God rejecting him as king. And so there are some consequences that just can't be changed. Take a look at verses 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8, it says, "And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way down to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword." God presented Saul with the opportunity to obey. Now, I want you to understand this. God doesn't tell us to obey and then make it impossible for us to obey. God told him what to do, and then he made it possible for him to do it. And so he presented Saul with the opportunity to obey. Now understand me. There are some times that God tells us to obey when it requires a step of faith. There's sometimes when God tells us to do something and it's hard because we don't understand where he's taking us. We don't understand how he's going to pull it off. There are sometimes in your life and in my life when God tells us to do some things and it's difficult, it's hard. Don't pursue that relationship. It's hard. And we don't understand why. There's some things that God tells us to do that require a step of faith. Are you with me? But I want to tell you that God always, whether it's hard or easy, God always provides a way for obedience. He makes a way sometimes out of no way. As a matter of fact, this trip that I'm going on to India is a good example. I think I shared some of that. I could tell you some more stories. Like, I just got my visa FedEx to me yesterday. I should stop and tell you that story. You know that they, and I've been there 4 or 5 times, but if you put down any more that you're going to do ministry, whew, you're just rejected. Well, I don't even, that's another old story. But I want to tell you, God makes a way. And when he tells you something, sometimes it's a step of faith. Sometimes you don't know how he's going to work it out. Sometimes it's just, you know, he has you walking in a fog. But when God tells you to do it, he's going to make a way. And I'm a witness. Amen. And so God presented Saul with the opportunity to obey. And in this instance, the Lord paved the way for Saul. The Kenites, who were allies of the Amalekites, he confused them and they ran away and left town and didn't help their allies. And so Saul was given the victory and he cleared them out all the way down near Egypt. There was only one thing hindering Saul from obeying God, and that was his heart. Saul's heart was the problem. And I'm going to suggest to you, how many of us perfectly obey God? Anybody here? We got Sister Julie raising her hand. All right. We perfectly obey God. But for most of us who fall short of that mark, amen, the problem is not that God didn't make a way for us to obey him. The problem is a heart issue. And it becomes clear in the text, there are two issues that Saul had in his heart that are pointed out to us in the text. And we share these same two struggles in our heart. Look at verse 17. The first thing that we notice here in Saul's heart is pride. Samuel comes to Saul. And he says, "Saul, we need to have a little heart-to-heart talk." So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes," I'm reading the New King James here. It says, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they're consumed.'" In other words, when you were little in your own eyes, before you got so big-headed you couldn't walk through the door, when you didn't think that much of yourself, I exalted you and made you king. Now you're so big and bad, and you're so big-headed and proud, I'm going to reject you because you now think your opinion is better than God's opinion. You think that your wisdom is better than God's wisdom. I like that passage that says, who has counseled God? Whoever sat him down and told him how to keep the mathematical precision of the solar system? Whoever instructed God? That should put us in our place. And when we get so big and bad and we think we're so smart that we're going to question God and tell him that his instructions don't make sense, then we're in that place where Saul was, and we're about to fall. And so when you're in that spot, you're going down. You're going down. When your head gets so big that you begin to think that your way is better than God's, and you disregard the word of the Lord, and you lean on your own understanding, you're going down, and your usefulness is done. Your disobedience will result in consequences that will destroy your life. The second thing, first problem that he had in his heart was pride. The second problem that he had in his heart that I want you to see in the text is greed. He allowed greed to compromise his obedience. Take a look at verse 9. Verse 9 says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. Do you see the picture? That's what was going on. He was willing to burn the trash, but surely God didn't mean that we're to give up and destroy all this wealth. Surely God didn't mean that I couldn't take home a couple of nice sheep and some new herd. Surely God didn't mean I'm to walk away from all this wealth that was there in Amalek. And so the greed in his heart caused him to compromise his obedience. It was simply cold stone greed. His greed was a roadblock to obedience. And I'm going to suggest to you that for you and I today, it's our greed that is a roadblock to our obedience. If pride doesn't get us, greed is there lurking on the other side, getting ready to get us.
Dr. Hart will return for the closing of today's teaching in just a moment. The various ministries of the DOGF can only continue with the faithful support of the Lord's people. For your donation of any amount, we'd like to say thank you with a special gift. It's the book, What is the Mission of the Church? By Kevin DeYoung and Greg Gilbert. Additionally, if you register to support us monthly, we will send you a beautiful golf shirt monogrammed with our DOGF logo. We'll give you all of our contact information at the close of today's teaching. Once again, here's Dr. Hart.
And so we need to keep a check, keep a look in our hearts, and make sure that our pursuit for things and greed never stops us from obeying God. Are you with me? We need to make sure that we're always watching our hearts. In verse 19, Samuel asks in verse 19, why did you swoop down on the spoil? I like that. It's like, you know, you couldn't take your eyes off of it, couldn't wait to jump in there and grab some for yourself. It's our greed. It's our putting ourselves first, our unwillingness to let go and obey God that stops us from giving the way that we should, from serving the way that we should, from sacrificing the way that we should. Why is it that so many Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to do, aren't giving the way they're supposed to give? Make it personal. Why? What's stopping you? Don't think about, you know, the person down the pew. What's stopping you from doing what God has wanted you to do? And the reason often is it's a heart problem. It's that issue of greed. We got to, Haggai said, we got to panel our own houses first. We got to take care of our own business first. We got to do for us first. And then if we have anything left, then we'll consider what God wants us to do. It's sort of like, you know, have you ever heard the story of that monkey who they ran that experiment with the monkey. They put a banana in a jar with a narrow neck, and the monkey could reach his hand into the jar, and he grabbed the banana, but then he couldn't get, as long as he's holding on to the banana, he couldn't get his hand out of the jar. And he was unwilling to let go of the banana, and so he walked around. He couldn't get his hand out of the jar, and he couldn't eat the banana. Because he couldn't figure out that all he had to do was let go, and then the banana would fall out to him. And some of us are just like that monkey. Some of us are unwilling to let go and let God take care of it. Some of us are where our heart of greed is running our lives. It's determining all of our action. And that was an issue here with Saul. So pride entered his heart. Greed caused him to compromise his obedience. And what we find is that he disobeyed God. He swooped in on the spoil. He took stuff for himself. And as a result, God rejected his disobedience. The nail was able to be pulled out of the wall, but there were consequences that just couldn't be changed. And so we find that the poetry in here in verse 22 and 23, that God rejected Saul as king because of his disobedience. Just take a look at verse 22. This is good stuff. You need to have this underscored in your Bible. It says, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." Here's the point. God doesn't get satisfaction from you doing all those religious things that you do. He's not asking necessarily for, you know, more ministry. He's not asking necessarily for you to show up in church more. I mean, all those things may be byproducts, but the bottom line is that to obey God, to make that commitment that if God says it, I believe it, and that settles it.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's program, and we thank you for listening. Your partnership with this ministry is appreciated and greatly needed to help us with our mission to plant churches, prepare leaders, and to proclaim the gospel. Please let us know that you will stand with us. Remember to ask for the thank you gift as you make your donation, and let us know how we can pray for you. You can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Our online address is www.gogfministries.org. Our office phone number is 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Pastor Sam Butler, and all of us here at the GOGF, I'm Sheila King reminding you that the measure of God's love is that He loves without measure.